If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.
First time in a long time, but back like I never left. Take it each day as it comes, you know me, I don't read ahead. Watch me burn down everything, BDE on the TV set. When I'm in control on the road, you could never really know what's up next.
Hello, hello, hello. Davey Portman here from Up Next. We are live on the Post Wrestling YouTube channel. Hello, Postmarks. How are we doing? I'm from Poison Rana. I am Davey Portman. I am normally joined by Mr. Braden Harrington, but he is in Japan right now. And I'm joined by a guest who joined me this past Sunday for Poison Rana Live, our weekly news show. And he did such a great job. We thought we'd have him back for this Tuesday for a brand new episode of Up Next. I'm joined by Boris from A Plus Productions. Boris, how are you doing?
I'm doing great on this awesome, brisk autumn Tuesday. Well, I guess it's still summer, but it feels like autumn.
Yeah, it was beautiful today, actually. It was that nice, like, shorts and a hoodie weather. It was perfect. Yes. Golden sun, blue skies. We are a little later tonight. Man, today's been pretty traumatic for me.
Oh, lordy, lord.
So, for those of you that don't know, I live in Toronto. It is the Toronto International Film Festival going on at the moment. The Rock was in town yesterday chatting all about Smashing Machine. I believe there's actually a premiere going on right now in the city. However, there's the bar I work at, Gabby's on King Street West. It is immediately opposite the main venue for TIFF. And therefore, we're pretty busy for these 2 weeks when the film festival's coming in. And we had I'm not going to name them, but a like film production company today who made a reservation for 30 people at 3 p.m. this afternoon, 4 till 7, rather, and for 30 people. And we suddenly realize it's not 30, but they've actually invited a whole guest list of 1,300 people to our bar that only holds a capacity about 200. We don't have security. We don't have hosts. We don't have anything. And just people keep on walking in. They think it's an open bar. However, we realize that they only actually have a budget of $500 and everything else they've got to pay for themselves. We then realized as the night went on that this is the same people that normally buy us out and actually pay a 10K like buyout fee and just decided this year they were just going to try it and just see if they could come in. Man, it was fucking horrific.
I can't even imagine. I worked in the hospitality industry during festivals and stuff. Any festival is crazy. But TIFF nowadays, not only with, you know, all the, like you said, the production companies and the celebrities, but just the sheer amount of people from out of town that come to TIFF now. I cannot even fathom that type of day.
It was an endless sea of people. And then there's the Jays are in town and, you know, it's getting towards playoff season and every game's important right now. So we've got Jays fans trying to come in for a pre-drink. It was chaos. So normally I finish about five. I finished about seven. And then everyone was like, hey, I think we all deserve a couple of drinks right now. So it's like, yeah, I was so close to canceling this show today because it was just a horrific day. But you know what? I think we're about to talk about a really excellent episode of NXT. I was blown away by tonight's episode and really really gave me the feeling back, if we're to steal a phrase. So you know what? I came into this down in the dumps and not looking forward to doing this show, and things have turned around a little for me.
That's awesome to hear. You see, wrestling is always a cure and booze, but wrestling. No, but it's true. Like I had a crazy day also, nowhere near as crazy as yours, just busy with back-to-back meetings. What I do, like I'm in the tech industry, meetings all around with people all around the world. So, you know, trying to schedule a meeting with people from China, it's either going to happen at an ungodly hour in the morning or at an ungodly hour in the evening. Today, it was both. So it was just a crazy day. A lot of talking. That's why I always have a water when I podcast now, because literally my day consists of like 10 hours of talking, typically. Yeah. And it's just presentations and you know, always on type thing. But honestly, I started NXT just a little later. So when you messaged me about starting late, I'm like, yeah, perfect. But yeah, no, honestly, this was probably the best episode of NXT that I've watched in years, absolute years. And NXT is something that I try to keep up with. I have a soft spot for NXT. I used to do the NXT reviews over at SNME back in the day, then an A plus and everything. So I have a soft spot for it. Today's episode was excellent. And I got to say, I'm really looking forward to next week's episode.
Yeah, I'm absolutely pumped. Now you mentioned you used to talk about NXT on SNME, but for some of our listeners who might not know who you are, can you like fill us in? What have you got going on these days and how we know each other maybe?
Yeah, so we know each other through the same people. We all apparently know the same people, especially if you're in the podcasting wrestling world here in Toronto. You know, we kind of met through Jason Agnew, as it really comes down to, and then Brayden and I started talking randomly. Then we started running into each other all the time at Wide Open Bar, and we just formed a friendship from there. In the podcasting world, I'm now running A Plus Wrestling, where we do a weekly show similar to Poison Ron Alive. We actually go live, not live, but we have an episode every Monday right before Raw on KPHR Radio. That's Cat Power Hit Radio. Soon to be a dial here, but we're still waiting on the government stuff and everything. I think they have a dial in Alberta, but you can also find us on any podcasting platform as A Plus Productions. We do sports, entertainment, and wrestling. But if you really just want to listen to the wrestling shows, you can find us as A Plus Wrestling. When I say A, it's the Canadian A, E-H.
Yes, E-H. Perfect.
Yeah.
So you're fully qualified for this job. You know, you've been talking about wrestling for years. We kind of ride in the same circles. So yeah, absolutely. It's been a pleasure. We did our first show together on Sunday, and I just thought, oh man, let's do it again on Tuesday until Brayden's back. And also, you know, I have an affinity on this show of just recording with men with beards and hats. So you've got to fill that role as well, you know?
Right? Exactly. There you go. Tick. Check mark on that one. All right, Davey, what do we got? What do we got going on?
So if you're not familiar with us, I normally do this show with Brayden Harrington. We run a podcast called Poison Rana, and you can find it by just searching Poison Rana Pod wherever you find your podcasts and here on YouTube. And we also have a Patreon. We released our review of ECW Wrestlepalooza 1997 last year, which was a whole lot of fun, a bit of a a Jerry Lawler invasion. We had Tommy Dreamer versus Raven in a Loser Leaves Town match. We had Stevie Richards, quote unquote, retiring. Chris Candido stepping in to face Terry Funk. It was an awesome show. So we were thought it's going to have nothing to do with this current WrestlePalooza coming up, but we thought it was a good excuse to go back and look at that. We do a lot of retro reviews on our Patreon, as well as movie reviews. Next month will be October. We do a lot of spooky stuff in October, a lot of horror film reviews. And also we have a show called Up Yours, where our top paying patrons, our world champions, our family members, if you will, can pick anything for us to review. So we've got a lot of picks coming up. Once Braden's back, we're going to be going through them. I know Chris Price has picked WrestleMania 28. I've got a double feature with Kev from Geekcentric talking about Deep Impact and Armageddon, comparing the two, which was the better disaster movie of the mid-90s. We also have a show called The Champ Is Here, where we've been going through all 17 of John Cena's title runs. Very recently, we talked all about CM Punk leaving at Money in the Bank, coming back to set up the title v title match at SummerSlam 2011. We will be back very, very soon with episode 12 of The Champ Is Here. But as decided earlier today, tomorrow we will be recording a very special episode of Best Match Ever. I will be joined by B Detroit to talk about the best matches ever of a returning AJ Lee.
Nice. Very nice. It's cool looking into the vault for some of these people, especially for some of the newer fans, because we have to remember there's a lot of people who recently started watching. Like, I know a ton of people who recently started watching, and I know a few people, a few friends who actually started watching because they're like, hey, this is on Netflix, and they started going through the library on Netflix, and they're like, this is actually not what I thought it was.
So, AJ Lee, we talked a bit about her with her return on SmackDown on Sunday show. Obviously, we had her show up on Raw yesterday. But what would be, maybe not matches, but some moments that come to mind when you think of AJ Lee's career?
Oh, the entire run with Bryan Danielson and Kane, all of that. You know, that was always fun. Then all the work she did with Dolph Ziggler, and then a debuting Big E. That was pretty good too. And then one of the most memorable moments was actually her losing against Paige, right? When Paige made her debut. That was like a moment that always sticks out for me in her career. But she was one of those wrestlers that, for a woman at that, in that Divas era, she was given so much to do, a lot more than any other woman in that era. And that's why you have the Roxanne Perez and Cora Jades and other people who look up to her, because she was it in that time.
I think this run's going to be really interesting, because I feel she was someone who was striving for what we see today in women's wrestling, right? And she was, like, she inspired so many of these great people we have, like a Roxanne Perez, who's just incredible. She inspired these people, and I don't think that they had the opportunity, and in some cases the talent was quite as there with other people, like other dance partners, back when she was around. And it was definitely bubbling. Like, you had your Naomis, you had your Pages, and it was definitely like building up to something exploding a little bit. But I can't wait to see a mixer up with these people, and if she's been working hard, if she still has what she used to have, I think it could be a really interesting run for AJ Lee. And I'm quite excited about it. We're going to be talking about some matches. We're talking about the payback match with Caitlin. We're talking about the match with Paige at Hell in a Cell. There's a match on Main Event, which was apparently pretty good, between Natalya and AJ Lee, as well as, a very early NXT episode with AJ versus Naomi. I think we're going to talk a bit about sort of best moments as well. You know, you mentioned it, but the Daniel Bryan wedding at Raw 1000 and the AJ Lee version of the pipe bomb, where she just annihilated the whole of the Total Divas cast. I'm looking forward to this show. I'm being joined by B Detroit, who is fantastic. You might know him from shows like What Up Doe. He's co-hosted Up Next with me in the past. So I think we're going to have some fun with this one. So get in your feedback. The feedback thread is open on the Patreon. And yeah, we're going to light it up. Boris, we'll light it up.
You'll love it.
What did you think of? Did you catch any of Raw last night and any sort of things that came to your mind while we're on the topic of AJ Lee? First time her since going back to WWE.
I thought her promo was great. You know, it's one of those things where because it's been a decade, man, a whole decade has passed, and you kind of forget how good she was on the mic. And I think that yesterday really solidified and reminded a lot of people, old and new, number one, she still got it, and just how good she is. She's just light years ahead of so many other women on the mic. Not only women, just talent in general. She's so good on the mic. It was awesome to see her back. But again, you know, the work that heel Becky and Rollins are doing right now, it's just so freaking good. They are like, all four of these people are making this this program just must-watch TV. It's been a lot of fun. And then obviously, you know, with the other stuff happened on Raw with the ending with Jey Uso, you know, a lot of people have been talking about this and calling it for a while, but it looks like they've pulled the trigger and pulling the trigger. So it's keeping me interested, at least.
You think that was a Jey Uso turn, do you? Or just
I don't think it was a full turn, but I think it's the start of a turn. I think we're going to see it. It would be weird if they did that and just don't pull the trigger. You know, could be a red herring, but I kind of like it. They might be using it to see how the crowd and internet reacts.
What I get it as. It reminds me of the Street Profits turn we had last year, which was never fully fleshed out. It was just like how would they take to this? It is interesting. I can't say a Jey Uso LA Knight feud is like top on my bingo card, but it was definitely an interesting element to last night's Raw. Back to AJ Lee, though, I completely agree with you. I think her promo was excellent. She proved that she still got it. It's interesting that her husband obviously is CM Punk, because I do think there's a lot of similarities when it comes to their promo. I think there's just authenticity about it. It feels very genuine. And I thought it actually achieved a lot of things. I thought it was successful in introducing new fans to her. It was successful in reminding us of her old character, you know, having a little bit of the crazy, if you will, whilst also talking as this woman who, you know, has been on a journey, as she said, for the last 10 years. And she has, with her like autobiography and stuff, been very open about her mental health and talking about therapy and stuff, whilst also tying into this whole feud, Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins. I thought it achieved so much, and I really hope the wrestling lives up to it as well, because this has got much like bigger reactions than I think they even thought it was going to get.
Look at the YouTube views just on her return. It surpassed Coney winning at WrestleMania. It surpassed so many videos. It is crazy just the reaction that the return of AJ Lee got. Davey, I have a question for you. Were you able to catch the AJ Styles promo from Raw?
I was, yeah. Okay, for those that might not have noticed this, I did listen to Rewind of Raw last night, and it seemed, because this has been cut out, this was in the commercial version. I'm sure John and Wei will talk about it on Wednesday. But yeah, AJ Styles, before his match with El Grande Americano, kind of saying about, you know, he's not been winning much, and people that used to be around him are not there anymore, i.e. Gallows and Anderson and Meechin and other people. And hinting that there are people here that don't want me to succeed, don't want me to win. I have my theories about this promo, but what did you make of this?
I thought this was perfectly scripted. This is going, I don't know where this is going to lead, but I'm interested in
I'll tell you where this is leading. This is leading to episode 4 of Unreal Season 2. That's exactly what this is. This is... We've got the Ron Killings episode where he gets fired and then he gets brought back due to the fans. And it's a whole episode being like, you know, we just got to listen to the fans at time. We've got the whole Seth Rollins episode with his fake knee and how we're trying to, you know, we're trying to keep kayfabe alive and swerve people, and people love surprises and moments. And then we've got this. We've got AJ Styles in contract season, you know, dropping names of people that are no longer employed, cutting his own pipe bomb, doing it, you know, broadcast, but only to Netflix audiences during commercials. I think it was 100% scripted. I think it's the danger of what this Unreal show is going to be for me, but I completely see it being for that. But I think it's something cool you can do, and you can play about with these commercial breaks and stuff.
Exactly. I think it's brilliant the fact that they did do it during the American commercial break. So their core audience is like, what happened? And they're hearing about it. They're seeing it on social media. So smart there. And also, I'm sure that someone in WWE kind of leaked some information, because yesterday everyone was talking about the AJ Styles contract and leading into his contract. And is this his last contract? So I don't know whether the timing was just perfect, but it's too much of a coincidence, right?
It plays quite nicely into the like little chatter that's going on about, you know, a potential AJ Styles John Cena match. And it seems like that is a match that's not necessarily on the cards or didn't seem to be on the cards. You've got the, you know, Cena paying homage in his matches. Could these two things be connected? Could they have been pulling us apart, and that AJ is fighting, and like it comes to the point where he doesn't want titles, he wants that one more match with Cena or something? I don't know. Could these be related? Is it something separate?
What if they just pulled a swerve and it's AJ Styles' last match also against Cena, right?
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. I think there's a lot of fun they can have with this. I think AJ's been on a pretty fun run this year. But it's time, like, you know, he is coming towards the end of his career. And I think it is time he gets a few of those, you know, Shawn Michaels in his final year kind of stuff going on. Not saying that he's hanging up the boots this year, but, you know, I think it is time to get a bit of focus on AJ. And I think he's someone that fans could definitely get into, especially with people like Cena retiring and a lot of the old guard moving on. He is one of the last ones from a certain era. So, I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah, and then I'll be shocked and surprised at this point, especially with that promo, especially with all the chatter, that he doesn't show up at Bound for Glory at the least.
I think so. I think he's going to be a Hall of Fame there, and he's already been on one of the shows before. So what would the match be in TNA for AJ?
Honestly, I don't know.
He gave Leon Slater the rub. Yeah. Is that something you do?
That would be an incredible match. That would be such a good match. Like, Leon Slater is one of the, if not the best talent right now in TNA. So young, so good. So much fun to watch each and every week, because I do the TNA reports for Slam Wrestling. So I'm lucky enough usually to watch it. But yeah, I think Leon Slater would be good. I'm trying to think of other young people in on that roster, and no one else jumps at me. Like, you know, there was the rumor that he was supposed to face Kazarian. I'm not really interested in that. I'm not. Nah, you know, Steve Macklin. Nah, Moose. Even someone like a Moose. You know, I'm not. I want to see him like go one-on-one with a
Leon. His younger player. Version of himself, that kind of thing, right? Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Well, that's that for our thoughts on Raw and stuff. You can join me. Actually, I'm definitely on this Saturday. I'm going to be joined by Cubs fan to talk about Worlds Collide this Saturday, I think around 2 p.m. on the post-wrestling feed. I'm going to try and do a show on Sunday as well. If I am not burnt out, I will be doing another Poison Hunter Live this Sunday with a guest. So keep an eye on the socials, because it has been a hell of a week, and we're doing the Worlds Collide show on Saturday as well. But we did talk about it a little bit on Sunday. All Out has moved times to 3 p.m. on Saturday, the 20th of September, which means All Out has moved times as well. Yes, we will be hosting an All Out pre-party at Gabby's on King. Unlike today, it will be very organized. We'll have a lot of staff on. We'll have a lot of people very happy to see you because they know you wrestling fans show up. We'll be having a few drink specials, some wrestling music being played, but most of all, a chance to just hang out with the Post Wrestling and Poison Rana crew. 11:30, King Street West, Gabby's 309. Yeah, hope to see you there. Go to poisonrana.ca for more information. And the event is absolutely free. So come and have breakfast, come and have brunch, and then a bit of AEW All Out. And then if you're still alive and kicking, there's Wrestlepalooza as your dessert in the evening. It's going to be a long, long day, but a super fun day to cap off this summer. And yes, Boris, it is still summer.
Yeah, exactly. I can't wait. I'm really looking forward to it. I'll be there. That day's going to be super long with the presser after. Who knows what time the show's going to actually end, and then Wrestlepalooza.
Yeah, we've had people asking if we're going to do a Wrestlepalooza watch party at Gabby's, and just, I don't know when All Out's going to finish. Like, I can't trust that. Even if it does finish before Wrestlepalooza, time to bomb it over to Gabby, set up and have everyone. Yeah, I just don't think it's going to be plausible. And I fully expect for All Out to probably cut into Wrestlepalooza a little bit, would be my estimate.
Yep.
Well, that's it for the chitter chatter. Let's get into some NXT. NXT September 9th, 2025, live from the Performance Center. And we kick things off with Javon Evans, who comes out calling out Josh Briggs. And Briggs just comes right out. Javon dives on top of him. It's an all-out brawl, kicking things off for this show. Briggs versus Javon. Briggs goes to throw Javon into the ring, but Javon springs up to the first rope with a moonsault to the floor, sends Briggs into the ring, hits his spinning heel kick, and then a frog splash with a big kick out. I thought this was such an exciting way to start the show. It was just full impact, speed, everything, like right away, right off the bat. Briggs comes back, landing a crossbody, followed by a boss man slam. And the crowd start chanting the Daddy Cool song, but with Briggs go away, Briggs go away. And weirdly, they sounded Scottish while they were doing this. I don't know why. Javon then springs off the top rope with a Rana. Briggs goes for his big boot, but gets sent to the outside. And then Briggs goes to chokeslam Javon through the table. And Javon and the table, as we know, haven't been too friendly recently. However, this time Javon evades it, leaping up onto the table, leaps from the table to the apron, hops into the ring, and comes bounding back with a huge tope suicida, sending Briggs crashing over the announce table. That looked awesome. We come back from the break, and Javon goes for a springboard, but gets caught and thrown throat first into the bottom rope. And then Javon staggers Briggs with some strikes. He hits a Superman punch. He hits a flying forearm, but only a two. He goes for a springboard again, but gets caught with a cross body into a power slam, which gets caught into a stunner from Evans, followed by a PK. Evans then hits his flying kick and then climbs the top and delivers. Boris, what would you describe this as? A swanton coast to coast?
Yeah, it's coast to coast swanton. That's what I literally have in my notes.
I think a normal coast to coast might hurt the other person more. Like, this did look painful for Javon, but the crowd ate this up. They were losing their mind. Briggs then grabs a steel chair. However, Javon super kicks him, goes for the triple jump cutter, but gets caught with a right hand and the 1-2-3. And it really wasn't until the replay where Vic Joseph notices that Briggs actually pulled off his chain to wrap around his fist for this knockout blow. So Briggs getting the cheeky win here, which actually I didn't catch until the replay, which I actually thought was kind of cool. But hell of a way to start the show. I absolutely love this.
Agreed. This is you knew the show was going to be good when they kicked it off with a 13-14 minute match. It was really fun. Tons of action. Javon Evans, like we talked about this on Sunday, he is so damn good. He's so talented. You know, I know a lot of people don't buy him as NXT champ per se, but I think he's the right person for the NXT title. And I think just the shock of him possibly beating Obafemi for it would be great. Look at the match he's had with Briggs, right? Briggs is great. I've liked him since, you know, his evolved days, but you know, it's Javon Evans. He's so freaking good. He's so freaking good. And every time he does some of these moves, like going through a table or something, I just think of the possible, like, what if scenario if ever were to face Darby Allin. Like, those two just, like, which one would break their neck first? Like,
yeah, he does feel like the Darby Allin of NXT for sure. I think I know Briggs is getting this sort of go away heat, but it feels kind of playful. Go away heat, in a sense. It doesn't feel like Baron Corbin heat to me. I don't think we're there. I think it's the audience kind of playing along with the character. Is the sense I get with it, because I think Briggs has been putting in some of his best work. I think he is a talent who's been around for a while, and we did talk about him on Evolve shows on this very show, and he lays it in thick. He's athletic. He's a big man. Like, his stuff looks like it hurts. And Javon, you know, like a Darby, eats up opponents like that. That's exactly who they want. They want someone to throw them around, bounce them around, and have these great big underdog spots. I thought this was so enjoyable to kick off NXT.
It was. And like you said, what I love the most is this is, you know, a lot of people, when they rate a match, they only talk about the in-ring. But I look at, like, the commentary, the camera, the production and everything. And what really elevated this match for me was the fact that we didn't catch the end. Like you said, it was a cheeky ending where Briggs kind of hid the fact that he cheated to win, so much so that we didn't catch it until the replay. I really, really enjoyed that a lot.
We go backstage and we see Ricky Saints and Obafemi arguing when Ava comes in and says it's clear that they have a lot to get off their chest, so sets them up to be on the Grayson Waller effect next week at NXT Homecoming. And Oba rolls his eyes at this, saying, oh, great, another egotistical maniac. As Trick Williams walks in and he's like, oh, yeah, and here's another one. Trick tells Oba that they ain't finished yet. And even though he's got his TNA stuff going on, he's still looking at Oba and still looking at that NXT championship.
Yeah, interesting stuff there.
When would you foresee that match coming? Because we haven't really had the one-on-one, have we, Oba and Trick?
No, we haven't. I don't know, because I'm assuming that Trick Williams is going to lose to Mike Santana at Bound for Glory, right? And that's happening in about a month. So is this a deadline match, you know, for in December in NXT? But are they going to have Trick lose twice back to back like that? Like, I can see this kind of being a I don't want to say a throwaway match, but a random match on an episode of NXT. I don't know why I have that weird feeling they're not going to promote it too much on a pay-per-view or something like that. Maybe. What about Halloween Havoc? I don't know. I'm having this whole conversation with myself on it.
It's a big match to go to. And I mean, I've been saying, I think Javon winning probably at Stand and Deliver, which is still, you know, quite a way away, but that's where they like to have these big crowning moments. And I don't think they're rushing Javon up anytime soon. And I've been saying he needs to be up against a top heel. Now, I've been saying that's Obafemi turning heel. Could that be Trick in his third title reign, having defeated Obafemi? Could Trick send Obafemi off to the main roster before this, and we have Trick versus Javon one last time at Stand and Deliver? I do think Trick and Oba is too big a match just to do as a TV episode.
I agree,
especially now with what NXT is, the sole thing on Peacock, right? Yeah. These PLEs, I think they're going to want to beef these up a little bit more, maybe. So I could see it being a deadline main event or something like that.
Yeah.
We We see DIY come to the ring, all in their old NXT garb. And Ciampa says it's always special when they come back to NXT because NXT is home. But this isn't just home. This is 10 years since Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa tagged together for the first time in NXT. And Johnny says he may be on SmackDown, but when he said NXT was for life, he meant it, and NXT is home. Ciampa says when he had his last match on NXT, he hoped it wouldn't be his last and had a sneaky feeling he'd be back. This is when Trick Williams interrupts and says they're jealous because the NXT crew can't compete with his NXT crew. And Johnny says he's got an idea. How about you step in the ring and we'll remind you what we did for NXT? And Trick says, yeah, I will step in the ring, but this time I'm not alone. And that is when Carmelo Hayes makes his return to NXT and he gets in Ciampa and Gargano's face and then he stares at Trick and they're a hug it out chance. And Melo says, Trick, since I left, you know, I said a lot of things that aren't true, but I said a lot of things that are true as well. And just like last week, I heard you saying, this is my house. Well, you say that in this ring with two people that built this house, who put renovations on this house. And the only thing you're doing here, Trick, is squatting in their house. Well, I came to remind you that rent is due. And Trick goes to interrupt and Melo says, no, I've been waiting 18 months to say this. And next time you're stood in the ring with NXT OGs like Gargano, like Ciampa, and like Carmelo Hayes, you put your high heels at the door, you sit down and stay quiet while our OGs are talking. This was great. Carmelo is, they're not just buddy-buddy right away. They're playing off their feud from before. Carmelo is kind of big leaguing Trick here as the main roster guy. And he's putting himself in the same category as Ciampa and Gargano, and Gargano and Ciampa are kind of rolling their eyes at this. Now, don't get me wrong, Carmelo was great in NXT, but very much at different times and eras. I thought Carmelo was very entertaining here.
He was great. Number one, you're a squatter chant, made me laugh. Number two, it just goes to show you like how good Carmelo is in NXT. You almost forgot why we were all looking forward to seeing him on the main roster. You know, he hasn't had a horrible run, but he hasn't had the run that everyone thought that he would have. And this is a reminder of how good he actually is. So I thought he did a great job of kind of elevating his stock a little bit.
He's not cut a promo like this. He hasn't had, you know, he's had basically it's rinse and repeat every week. It's, yeah. I want a singles title match. Oh, I've got us a tag title match. Oh, but I don't want to be a tag team with you, Miz. Like, we want this. Give Melo the opportunity to just dress someone down on the mic like he used to do in NXT. And Miz is perfect fodder for that. It could really work. But I thought this was a great reminder. You go like, oh, yeah, man, this guy's pretty good. And I don't think he's found it on SmackDown yet.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed 100%.
So Trick says, well, things have changed since you've been gone. And he said, yeah, you know what? I said shit about you, Melo, and I apologize, but I squat where I want to squat, and I put my high heels where I want to put my high heels, and it's still my house. And Ciampa asks, is this Big Brother Little Brother, pointing to Trick and Melo, or is this Big Brother Little Brother, pointing the other way round? Like, which way round is this dynamic going? Melo reminds them that, well, hey, you sure had fun stabbing each other in the back. And Johnny just says, look, I don't want to talk about this. I don't want to talk about anything. I want to make the biggest tag match in NXT history, Trick Melo Gang versus DIY at NXT Homecoming. And the match is made. And yeah, it is pretty much the Trick Melo story essentially was DIY for the 2.0 era. Very similar story. I think it's, we said it on Poison Rana. We said it on an Up Next last week. it makes sense putting these guys together again. I think it is an act they should take up to the main roster. But I thought this was a thoroughly enjoyable segment, and I'm pretty pumped for the match.
Yeah, same here. Like this again, this is when I was reminded that how much effort they're going to be putting into next week's show, and really looking forward to it. I think this is going to be a great, great match. Even if they're given 10 minutes or 15 minutes or whatever, they're gonna have a great match. Because, you know, the last time that Melo and Trick teamed up together, Trick wasn't at the level in ring that he is now. He was very much the sidekick, the guy who's learning. Now he's a complete package at this point.
Do you see this being the main event next week?
I think so. I think so, but with NXT, they really love featuring the women, so I have a feeling that six woman tag might main event.
We move on to our next match. It's the NXT Women's Speed Tournament semi-final match. I think that's it. Lainey Reid versus Fabi Apache from AAA, and the rules here are it's 3 minutes. You've got to get the win within 3 minutes. We have a couple of insert promos here. Lainey saying that she's the embodiment of Southern charm and pure talent, and says all she's missing is the spotlight. And as soon as she's beaten Fabi and Candice, she'll take the title. And then she says she'll spill the tea, sweet, of course, and it will be winning the Speed Championship at No Mercy. Fabi Apache has a translated promo subtitles, basically saying she's here to represent AAA, and the Speed Championship is going back to Mexico. Well, it ain't anytime soon. We see Natalia standing ringside, and Vic hypes up her match against Fabi Apache for the number one contendership for the Reina de Reina's champion at Worlds Collide, and questions what version of Natalia are we going to see? Are we going to see this sort of shoot fighter Natty, or are we going to see the Natalia we've known all these years? The bell rings. We get a dropkick right away from Fabi Apache, followed by a head scissors takedown and a sent onto the floor. Lainey hits a sunset flip for a two count and then a backslide into a clutch for a two. And then Fabi charges into the corner, but Lainey moves. There's a super kick from Apache, and that's where 60 seconds are left on the clock and all the lights turn red. Reid hits a super kick. There's a big German suplex from Apache, who goes up top. And this is when Natalia hops the guardrail. She stands there, allowing for the distraction. Reid moves out the way as Apache goes for a swanton. And then there's the running knee to the face from Reid for the win. Boris, what did you make of the match? And what do you make of this Speed concept?
So I'm so torn with this. When it was a standalone thing, couldn't be asked to watch. Like, I just did not care whatsoever. Now that it's part of the NXT brand, I don't hate it. I don't like it. I like the fast-pacedness of the matches, but it's just another belt to add to the huge collection of belts. I do like the idea of the three-minute time limit because a lot happened in those 3 minutes. It was so compact, and it just feels like you're in a rush. It really does feel like you are against the clock. So I kind of like that aspect of it. This match was fine. You know, Lainey Reid, super, super young, super new. But yeah, I'm not 100% convinced that this is going to be a long-term thing that they're going to have in NXT. It's okay for now, but we'll see.
I thought this was a better version than last week's. I think the problem is, Neil and I spoke about this last week, is you often have sub 3 minute matches on NXT anyway that aren't meant to be. And I felt last week's match just felt like one of them. I thought this one both wrestled with a bit more urgency. I like, you know, Fabi Apache jumping the bell with that drop kick. And I feel it's got to feel like a sprint. It's got to feel like you're chasing that win. These matches should have a lot of roll-up attempts, a lot of backslides, and sort of pinning combinations out of nowhere, trying to get that flash win. And I think the sort of showboating should be dialed down. I know it's part of wrestling, but you should really be playing that we are against the clock here. So if you are trying to get the crowd going and you're raising your arms in the air, you're doing it while you're running to hit your next move or something. I thought this was better than last week's. I did. I thought they did wrestle with more urgency, but I think they can still perfect it. It could work. It could work, this thing. I agree, we don't need much more championships, but as a fun 3-minute match, it could be fun. Lainey Reed's promo and was good. I thought she stood out a bit more this week as well.
Yeah, she did. And with the Heritage Cup kind of not really a thing anymore, I guess they need something with a time limit, right? So
yeah. Okay, well, we'll move on from that. We go backstage where we see Zarya. I also wanted to say, I found it interesting that it shows kind of the pecking order maybe between all these WWE brands right now with, yes, it was an interference, but Lainey Reed, who's very much a up-and-coming rookie in NXT, beating someone who's in a number one contenders match on AAA on the pay-per-view this Saturday. Yes, we did have the Natalya kind of interference. It was more of a distraction sort of interference, but I thought it kind of showed you priorities maybe in WWE.
Yeah, agreed. That was actually the standout thing for me more than anything else, was kind of seeing that, all right, Fabio Apache lost tonight. Is she going to do the double loss like this Friday night? We'll see.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.
This month on the Post Wrestling Cafe, we're going back to November of 1995 as Rewind Away takes a look at the Survivor Series featuring Diesel defending the WWF Championship against Bret Hart. We'll also have weekly editions of Collision Course with the carousel of co-hosts joining Kate from Montreal, reviews of TNA Victory Road, New Japan's Destruction in Kobe, and it is the Ask Away Mailbag Show as John and Way answer your questions all this month at postwrestlingcafe.com.
The Zarya, the Speed Women's Championship Sol Ruka, the NXT Speed Women's Champion, with Zarya, who asked her where she's going to put her third title, and she's saying, oh, maybe I just stack all three titles up, as they're potentially going to have a women's tag title shot. Zarya says that she needs this win tonight. She needs her first championship. This is when Hank and Tank walk in and asks how their favorite tag team is, and Zarya say, well, you're our favorite tag team. And they all put sunglasses on, all say they're going to win gold tonight. Zarya says it smells like victory, and they all do the honk, honk. I'm glad we had the angle at the end, because I think this team isn't going to be around much longer. I've hated these, what they've done to Zarya with these segments, and I fully think we're getting a killer very soon after what happened in the main event tonight.
And I think that's what we're seeing. I think they're making her so cheesy to the point where it's almost on purpose, because we're going to see the extreme opposite side of her, which is the Delta side, right? It's the side that we've known.
The Mad Max, like the
one
they debuted, right? Yeah. But I thought this was even more cheesy than usual, which I think was a deliberate ploy. We see a vignette from Blake Monroe. It's all this red lighting. She kind of looks like someone out of a horror movie. She goes, breaking news, the glamour is not done with Jordan Grace, and Jordan Grace made a big mistake. And this story is a tragedy. I'm the glamour, and you ruined this. I wanted to be perfect, untouchable, but the glamour was never meant to be clean. I am cruel and merciful, and glamour can bleed and still be the star of the show. And you reminded me that. You reminded me the glamour and hell were never meant to be separate. You made me feel something that I buried deep. And as she's saying this, there's shots of stiletto shoes. And she says, I thought those days were done, but I guess I got better at accessorizing. And now the glamour is hungry. And I'll show you why Blake Monroe would make the devil blush. I'll see you in hell, JG. I've not been particularly fond of this Blake Monroe character since coming in. I haven't liked this feud with Jordan Grace. I don't think Jordan Grace has come across particularly well. I did find this interesting, though. It was kind of referencing a past from, you know, AEW, the stiletto, and that we've not, I don't think we've seen her use the stiletto in NXT, nope. Have we?
No, we haven't.
And kind of hinting at a darker side of Monroe. And but the whole see you in hell stuff, the way this is kind of shot horror wise, it makes me worry that this is going to drag out all the way to Halloween Havoc at the end of next month.
This is literally what my first thought in my note, Halloween Havoc match question mark. Yeah, I don't know. Like it just seems like that's what was, but it was good to see another side of this Blake Monroe character, right? She's not the typical glamour or whatever type of character that we've had in wrestling forever. So it was really cool seeing this new side of Blake Monroe. I think that it was key and important to do that here in NXT, because she's more than just that, you know, that glamour character. So I'm happy that they were getting that other side. But I agree 100% with you that both of them are kind of looking iffy.
I think the problem is, it's you set up something like this, and, you know, in AEW, you then get a match like the Hollywood ending. You'll get them drinking each other's blood and crazy stuff. Whereas WWE, NXT, we're going to end up with kendo sticks. You know, and it's just, they kind of set your expectations for something. Yes, we're going to get a way more violent Blake Monroe moving forward, which is awesome. But we don't, there's so many restrictions in WWE where I don't see it moving much further beyond that other than just very stylized vignettes. And I thought this vignette was good and was one of the more interesting things of Blake Monroe. But I do still fear like once the bell rings, it's, yeah, going to be trash can lids and kendo sticks. And it's like, not quite the violence you're sort of promising me.
Yeah, exactly. It's the WWF-ified version of it. Having said that, it is NXT. I find that NXT, they kind of let them go a little more with these types of things. So hopefully that's the case, because I feel like we need to see those layers of the Blake Monroe character.
Yeah, absolutely. We go to our tag team championship match, Hank and Tank challenging Dark State. Hank and Tank have a hot start. They do the honk honk and running power slam headbutt to Osiris very early on, where Dion Lennox just breaks it up. We then get tandem suicide dives from Hank and Tank. And after the break, Lennox is dominating Tank. He hits a huge power slam from Osiris to Tank for a two count. And then Osiris and Tank are both trying to make their tag, where they end up having a tug of war with each other in the middle of the ring, kind of pulling each other either side to try and make the tag. Eventually, both fall into it, tagging Hank and who's the other one here? This was Dion Lennox, who start trading blows. Hank dominates Dion and hits a splash. He's firing up the crowd and then hooks Dion round his back and hits a kind of inverted DDT. Looked kind of cool. Followed by Tank coming in with a huge swanton for a two count. They go for the honk honk again when Saquon Sugars and Cutler James interfere. They're all getting on the apron. And then Cutler grabs, I think it's Tank here, going for a choke slam. And he says, Joe Hendry ain't helping you tonight. Well, say his name and he appears. Joe Hendry shows up. He pretty much bursts through the stage here like the like the
Kool-Aid guy.
Kool-Aid guy. Yeah, exactly. Fights them off. However, in the ring, Dion Lennox manages to catch, I believe this was Tank here for the finish, with a very tight roll-up for the win, and Dark State retain.
Yeah, good match for all four guys. I got to be honest. I'm not the highest on both teams, but this was a fun match. My only gripe, my only issue, my only concern is the memification of Joe Hendry. Found that when he started in NXT as, you know, Captain TNA, he was fine, he was normal, but I feel like they've taken a step back and they've nerfed him into a comedy meme act.
Yeah, I agree. He's Fandango now. It's like, yeah, that kind of thing, right? And it's, you're right, when he was first coming in, he was, yeah, defending TNA, and he was the TNA champion, and he was trying to get that championship back from Trick and all that. It's not my taste. It took away from the match. I actually thought these four guys were having a pretty good match. Hank and Tank kind of always surprise me a little bit. I get into their matches more than I feel I should be. And yeah, I think Osiris and Dion Lennox especially really shine in this group. And the main thing Braden and I have kept on saying with Dark State, it's very much a lot of tropes we've seen before in wrestling, and it's very Teemu Shield. But the main thing is, if they can go when the bell rings, that's the main thing at the end of the day with wrestling. And they've had some hits and they've had some misses, and I thought this was more on the hit side, just like fast pace, a lot of action. I could have personally done without the interference at the end, especially that it led to Dark State winning anyway.
Exactly. It just makes Joe Hendry look really dumb at the end of the day.
Yeah. Right?
Him costing another face team the match. It was really dumb. And I kind of feel like Dark State would have been better off with just a clean win. Like, you're, yeah, trying to build him up as this entity that's going to take over NXT, you know, like Teemu Shield, Teemu Retribution. That's what they are, because they're just not winning cleanly. And like I said, I'm digging them a lot more than I did that when they started, but I'm just still not convinced on them. And tonight would have been a perfect time to give them a win against crowd favorites like Hank and Tank.
We go to our next match. It's a flag match. Ethan Page versus Tavion Heights. And we even get a bit of a video package hyping up the flag match, saying we haven't had one since 2017. I was chatting with Neil about this last week, but flag matches, they often change the rules with what you have to do with this. Sometimes it's the flags on the post. It's been sometimes you've got to grab the flag and put it on the stage area and all that. So all they were saying here is you have to grab the flag and wave it proudly. Now, I'd have been interested here if one of these people grabbed the flag and didn't wave it proudly. Is the referee going to go, that doesn't look proud enough to me?
That's what I thought was going to be the end. I honestly thought that was going to be the end, because they made such a point to say that. I'm like, oh, someone's just going to grab it and just like stare at it like an idiot, and then the other person's going to wave it, yeah, proudly and get the win.
Ethan Page just holds it off up, and Zombie Ref is like, that ain't proud enough. The winner is USA anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice dusty finish with the flag match. Yes. But yeah, this is pretty fun. Page goes for the razor's edge early, but Height slips out of it. Tavion actually gets the better of Page a lot in this match, keeps on going for the US flag. Both are fighting on top when Page rips at the hair, throwing Tavion back to the mat. Page then catches Height with a roundhouse. Height hits a flying clothesline, and then Page charges into the corner, but Height moves, which sends him crashing shoulder first into the ring post. Heights then climbs but gets shoved off throat first into the turnbuckle. Page starts to climb, gets right to the top when Tavion leaps up and hits a beautiful over-the-head belly-to-belly, very Kurt Angle-esque, and Heights climbs up and grabs the flag.
Yeah, pretty short match, a lot shorter than I thought it was going to be, but it did exactly what it needed to do. And then want to talk about what happened after?
Yeah, I thought the match was fine. I I think personally I'd have had Ethan Page winning. I think he could still cheated and won, and I think would have led to this next moment better, in my opinion. But yeah, Ethan Page is laid out in the ring when Tyler Breeze's music hits and Tyler Breeze returns, an NXT original, selfie stick and all, and poses with Ethan Page's body, taking a selfie. And it is confirmed that at NXT Homecoming, Tyler Breeze challenges Ethan Page for the North American Championship.
Sure. Why not? Let's do it. With random. Well, it'll be fine.
I just thought, like, I thought this was a little backwards. I love it. Like, I think they should be going super heavy nostalgia next week. You know, that the old school Raws and that are always successful. We've had NXT talent come back and forth, but having a whole, like, homecoming edition, I think this is great. Tyler Breeze is one of the originals. He's not on the roster. People, like, especially Full Sail, fondly remember him. But come on, I thought you should have had Ethan Page win this match. He can cheat. He can punch Tavion in the dick or whatever, hold up the Canadian flag and get on the mic and claim he's the greatest Canadian NXT talent of all time. Cue the other Canadian to come out. And yep. I think it writes itself. But yes, they went this way instead. Either way, I'm pretty excited for it. Tyler Breeze coming back to NXT.
Yeah, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. Really looking forward to next week.
We get the second part of Lola Vice's kind of little documentary about her life. She says, growing up, there was never time for self-pity. She went to an all-Catholic girls' school, and she was so shy, which is crazy considering who I am now, as we get like a montage of Lola Vice wiggling her bum. She says, she didn't have many friends, so my close friends are extra special to me. And I'm going back to my dad's dojo for the first time in a long time to go back to my roots. And we see her dad, Frank Larea, who is just beautifully insane in this video. He seems absolutely nuts. Was Lola's coach growing up, and you see him teaching the class. You see clips of Lola like kicking wooden boards. It's very kind of Karate Kid-esque. And she says she was born and bred into this life, and that everyone in her family is a black belt. We get her sister talking, who says no one has pushed her harder in life than her big sister Lola. And Lola explains that she dances out of pettiness. In MMA, they all made fun of me for being a girly girl until I knocked them out. And we have sort of flashes back and forth of Sir Lola on the beach looking very attractive, dancing away, and then kicking the shit out of people in NXT Underground and MMA. Her sister says Lola was a champion in her eyes since day one, and she says she's this close to winning the championship where she grew up. And her dad just yells at the camera that Lola is the real deal, and Lola says, I'm going to win closest to where I know best, Vice City. I was a big fan of last week, so I was a big fan of this. I thought they've done a great job with these two videos.
This is great, really, to showcase Lola Vice as more than just a piece of ass, right? Like, that's what she's known for. That's what she does. She wiggles it. She dances. But they did a great job in these videos of really showcasing her as a competitor. And I think overall they've done an okay job, but this was great. This is what they should have done when she started on NXT. But better late than never. Number two, these, I don't know why, it's maybe it was her dad. Remember those ROH videos every time that the Briscoes would go back to the farm and he had crazy dad Briscoe going at it? It reminded me so much of this.
Oh, this guy could completely be a character on and off, especially if Lola makes it to the main roster. This guy's got it. He seemed absolutely nuts. I thought he was awesome. Yeah, I thought these videos have done such a great job of humanizing Lola Vice. Really, really makes you root for her. I think she found a way of connecting in that Roxanne Perez feud towards Heatwave a year ago, where she cut that promo and about her struggles and things. And I think she, you know, they debuted her more of a heel, and I think they sort of lent into like, oh, it's this girl wiggling her ass and she's all full of herself. I think this works so much more. I think you really root for Lola Vice watching these videos. Only thing is, I'd say it seems in a separate universe from JC Jane right now. We've got the mixed tag, sorry, we've got the tag team match next week, which Lola's not involved in. And then it's like, it feels like the week after next is when maybe we'll actually start having Lola and JC Jane interact. But it kind of feels like they're telling two separate stories at the moment.
Right. What's weird is that they've interacted more before Lola Vice became the number one contender. So you're 100% right when you say they have completely separated them, telling two different stories. So it will be interesting to see once they come together. Because you only have, what, 2 weeks left to really promote this match. So, yeah, we'll see. But it's weird, but I'm interested.
We cut to Fatal Attraction, who have watched this video backstage. Sorry, Fatal Influence. Yes. Still, Toxic Attraction, Fatal Attraction. Blah. JC comments on it saying, oh, it's a cute story. Same shame she's going to lose in front of her mum and dad. Jasmine and Fallon say that they'll win tonight and then Fatal Influence will be untouchable. And who thought 5 months ago I would be the NXT Women's Champion and you two will be tag champs? And tells Jasmine then to use more Colossal, which I guess they didn't get a Maybelline sponsorship this week, or is Colossal right? A Maybelline product? I don't know. But basically tells Jasmine to put on some more makeup as the petty bickering between these three continue.
Yeah, I like this. Again, a lot of things happening, but I like this. JC Jane's interesting. I'm still not convinced fully on her, but she's done such a good job overall, like, of keeping things afloat, to say the least, especially with so many changes in her tag partners. She's a standout right now, at least with Fatal Influence, but I don't suspect that she's keeping that title much longer.
Yeah, I wasn't high on JC Jane at the beginning of like Toxic Attraction, and I think she's really won me over the last few months. I think her and Fallon especially are sort of real like stalwarts of this division at this point, and I think JC's really stepped up to this role. It was a surprise, and I saw a lot of people rolling their eyes when she defeated Fakir. But I think she's been backing it up. I think her in-ring work is pretty solid, and she comes across very unlikable in these promos. And we're waiting for the breakup of Fatal Influence down the line. We then get a pretty fun NXT Homecoming commercial building up that they're going back to Full Sail and highlighting some of the matches we're going to see. Like we've got DIY versus Trick Mello Gang. We've got Tyler Breeze versus Ethan Page. And then we go to our main event of the evening. Fatal Influence versus The Culling versus Zaruka. And it's an elimination match to determine the number one contender for the Women's WWE Tag Team Championship, which will take place at Homecoming next week. So Charlotte and Alexa Bliss coming back to NXT. Zarya and Izzy, the two bigger women in the match, are going at it, trading pump kicks. When Fallon comes flying in with a crossbody and flying forearm, Jasmine delivers her disaster kick, and then Izzy has Fallon up, but Sol springboard drop kicks them both. Zarya then spears Sean Spears on the floor as Fallon is dumped onto Nico Vance, taking out the rest of the Culling. Sol hits twisting moonsault to Tatum, Izzy, and Vance on the floor. And then Sol and Zarya stand on the barricade as they start a wave in this crowd. Sol is on the top as Nyx is hitting roundhouses. And then there's a super blockbuster to Nyx from Sol. Zarya with a huge slam to Tatum, but the pin gets broken up. And then Zaruka hit tandem spears. And as Sol is setting up for the Sol Snatcher to Tatum, Fatal Influence shoves Zarya into Tatum. And wouldn't you know it, Sol snatches the Sol of Zarya. And then Sol looks shocked. Fallon throws Sol out the ring and then tells Jasmine to get the pin. And she pins Zarya, eliminating Zaruka in a bit of a shocker here. And I mean, Boris, I'm pretty sure we know where this is going with these two.
Yeah. Yeah, they've actually been running this almost the exact same thing on the house show loop.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The timing was good, weekend. So I guess, like, yeah.
Yeah, even on the weekend, they did a really cool one with Roxanne Perez and Raquel Rodriguez. But, yeah, we know exactly where this is going. I'm for it. I like Sol Ruka. I think she's going to be a mega star. Zarya, she just needs to get her footing. It's time. They brought her in. They made her look strong a year ago. I swear, Deadline was the last time that she looked like she was a threat. So I'm for this. I'm happy.
Yeah, it's once they eventually go with the turn, and it should be just Zarya trying to take all of Sol's titles. I think she should start with the Speed Championship and just throw it in the bin, you know, and then go after the North American title. And I think then we can hopefully have some sort of clear character, exactly what Zarya is. She's very Ember Moon so far in NXT, which is, you know, Ember Moon came out. She had this cool entrance. She was kind of werewolfy. And then you'd see her wearing jeans, smiling, cracking jokes backstage. And you're like, I thought you were a werewolf and you're just in mum jeans backstage. It's kind of weird. I'm getting that with Zarya, and hopefully the heel turn can really solidify exactly who Zarya is. The match continues, and as the ref is distracted, JC smashes Tatum in the face. There's a Nyx kick, but a kick out, and then a choke slam from Izzy to Jasmine on the apron. Fallon comes in with her 619 around the ring post, but misses a swanton, and then this allows the Culling to hit their SOS big boot combo. And then the high sky from Izzy, shout out D'Lo Brown, for the win. And the Culling have defeated Fatal Influence and will be challenging Charlotte and Alexa Bliss next week, which I'm pretty sure we called. I think that makes a lot of sense of the three teams. It's a pure heel team against Charlotte and Alexa. But also kind of interested seeing Izzy and Charlotte go at it, as very similar in stature and strength.
Agreed. I'm really looking forward to that match. It should be good, actually. It's a lot of different styles of people, and my only thing is, like, you know, is the Culling too young? You know, are they too green to go up against Charlotte and Alexa? I think can see it being a short match, but it'll be a good test for them.
I think they're more expendable, right? Like it's they can have a good match. They can take the L, and it's a way of getting Alexa and Charlotte on the show, which is big enough in itself, and give them some experience as well. Whereas Fatal Influence and Zaruka clearly kind of have their own stories going on anyway. Yeah. So after the match, JC gets in the ring and she is pissed. She says, I don't care which one of you dropped the ball. You both failed me. You embarrassed me. I run this division. And that's when we see a car arrive. And she says, there's no way Fatal Influence will not be at homecoming. I've carried this group on my back. And I don't need the audience's applause or respect. The only person I needed was me, because I'm the greatest of all time. And I carried the TNA division on my back as well. Okay. Was I on my own here thinking, are they bringing back Mandy Rose for homecoming?
I honestly thought that that's what it was going to be. I don't know why. Maybe because of the JC Jane connection, but yeah, honestly thought it was Mandy Rose.
That's exactly what I thought. I thought she was driving home, like, you know, I've got to this stage on my own. I'm the greatest of all time. Mandy would, like, unfathomably held the title as one of the longest title reigns. And then just even the car showing up, I thought it was a very kind of Mandy sort of entrance. I was like, no, they're not going to do that, are they? They didn't. Stephanie Vaquer comes out and she gives JC credit for beating her for the title, but says, at the time, I had two titles I was defending. And you know what? At WrestlePalooza, I will be champion again. And JC says, well, look, there's three of us and one of you. Steph goes, oh, yeah? Don't you know what time it is? Q, it's Tiffy time, as Tiffany Stratton comes back to NXT and brings up how she's beaten Fallon Henley before and how she's one of the most dominant NXT women's champions in history, as well as a dominant women's champion right now, and doesn't think that JC's the greatest of all time. And JC goes, oh, isn't this sad? It's the super seniors coming back to high school and just trying to feel like they still fit in. And Tiff says, huh, I don't know how Mammy is going to feel about being a super senior when you hear, this is my brutality. And Rhea Ripley returns to NXT to a huge reaction. And she goes, the greatest NXT women's champion of all time. No, I don't think so, JC. And Rhea says, it's now three of you and three of us, and we'll see you at Full Sail. But yeah, awesome end to the show. The crowd, like, obviously, Rhea Ripley, so popular. I thought this was super fun. I think it was maybe a shame you couldn't have had one woman. If Bayley wasn't caught up in this story she's got going on right now, like, someone from that era. So you've really got three eras of NXT women's wrestlers. But still, I thought it was a pretty cool moment to end the show. I almost feel like next week, it feels like it's one of those episodes that's going head to head with AEW, and it's really not, because they have stacked this homecoming show.
That's honestly, like, I had to actually check the calendar to see if NXT is on Wednesday next week, because it is the go home show for All Out. So it would be in WWE's character at this point to stack a show the way that they have, because it's going to get monster numbers on Tuesday. The Rhea Ripley alone is going to bring in all the eyes to NXT next week on Tuesday. So I honestly did think that they were going head to head for some reason, which will be interesting, because I know they're going head to head in October. I think it's right after Canadian Thanksgiving. They're going head to head again. So,
would that be Halloween Havoc, or are they doing that as a PLE?
I think Halloween Havoc's a PLE, from what I recall, I remember. Yeah, it's a PLE now. Just a random episode on Tuesday, but Dynamite's moving to Tuesday for one week. Yeah,
interesting. Overall, I thought this was a crazy fun show this week. I think NXT often, it's either too many, like, story things and the wrestling's kind of meh, or the wrestling's really good and kind of all the backstage stuff's kind of silly. We didn't really have any silliness this week. We didn't have sort of Chase U nonsense or any just corny backstage segments. I thought the show moved at a really good pace. It was clearly focused on next week, building up this homecoming show. I thought Josh Briggs and Javon Evans had a hell of an opening match. I enjoyed the men's tag. I enjoyed this women's tag main event. And then sprinkle in your DIYs, your Carmelo Hayes, Tiff, Steph, Rhea. I thought this was one of the best NXTs for a long time.
Agreed. I'm so happy that I am able to talk about this episode, because it was so good. Really good. Great in-ring. Tons of story. Really building these characters. It's something that I find that sometimes lacks in NXT is the character building side of things. They're good in-ring, cool, but that's only half of the equation in WWE nowadays, right? So something like the Lola Vice thing was really cool. Even as cheesy as it was, the Zarya Sol Ruka promo, we kind of know where that's heading. Say what you want about the Blake Monroe promo, it's at least adding a layer to her character. So overall, I think this was a home run for NXT.
Absolutely. What are you most excited about on next week's show?
Oh, man. Next week, honestly, I think it's going to be the six women tag. I'm really looking forward to that. It's going to be very cool to see Rhea Ripley back at Full Sail. A little nervous about the Full Sail crowd. I hope they don't go full Sail on us and try to hijack the show. But that will be interesting. But even with the DIY, Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams match, that's probably the second most hype that I am for what's happening next week.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm most looking forward to. And I'd be interested to see if they plan on doing anything more with Trick and Mello after that. Yeah, I wonder, are we going to get some old NXT audience members back? Are we going to get Everton fan back in the front row? Are we going to get the old lady? Will Izzy be there? And Izzy's dad picking fights with Lindsay Dorado? Like, I want the full, I want the full sale experience.
Exactly, exactly. I can honestly see them doing a Izzy Bailey thing, just something with that. My question to you, Dave, is who from the main roster or not even in WWE anymore do you think we'll see next week?
You know, I'd like some real deep cuts. You know, I do the show on
Blue Pants
called Was Next. Yeah, let's get the I want some Richie Steamboat, you know, some Raquel Diaz, you know, let's get some real deep cuts. Blue Pants, what was his name? Marcus Louis, was it?
Yeah.
Sebastian Laporte. These are the kind of names we should be having back next week. I feel like we'll have a sort of surprise as well. Obviously, they've got it pretty loaded, but I could see a kind of Tyler Breeze level person making a surprise appearance next week.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, I'm going to put my money on Mandy Rose. I don't know why. I have this feeling that Mandy Rose is going to make a quick appearance at some point. I don't know why. Maybe it was because of tonight's promo and the way that the show ended. And I was convinced I would have put money on it being Mandy Rose showing up at the end.
Yeah, it was so set up for it. And I wonder what the reaction would have been for that. Because as much as I prefer Tiff, Steph, and Rhea, we see them all the time. I think there would have just been something quite funny and curious about Mandy Rose coming to challenge JC.
So random. Week.
So random. Anyway, that's what we thought. Let's go to our Poison Rana Facebook group to hear what you guys thought. We do throw up feedback every week on the Poison Rana Facebook. Just search Poison Rana. And we've got one piece from Magan this week, who says the bookends delivered the goods. Javon Evans, Josh Briggs was damn good. Cutler was a dumbass for saying his name. Trick Mello gang aren't on the same page, and it was real smart to keep their issues alive and being juxtaposed with DIY made for a great segment. That tag match should rule. Tyler Breeze popped up for a selfie. The main event was pretty strong, and what came after was even better. JC tore into her cohorts, stroked her ego, and out came Rhea Ripley, Tiffany Stratton, and Stephanie Vaquer to put her in her place. Homecoming is shaping up to be special. It was a solid episode overall.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't agree more. And I think that's a sentiment overall that I'm reading, even on my pages and stuff, where people really did like this episode of NXT, which is great. It's good to see. You know, wrestling's healthy when NXT is putting on good shows.
Absolutely. Well, thank you guys for joining us today. Sorry for the little late start for our live viewers. And thank you, everyone. I see you all. Jamie, Joe, Stephen, Jake, Job Nobly, and Zach, who reminded us that it is National Carrot Cake Day. You've still got 10 minutes to celebrate with a carrot cake. Next week, Braden will be back in town. I do not know what state he'll be in. And we will be live on Tuesday night, hopefully around 10:05. We're actually going to be in Ottawa next Tuesday for a little job we're doing. But hopefully if flights and travel and everything is on time, we should be able to record a show in our hotel room. Whether it'll be live on YouTube or not, I am not sure. It kind of depends on where we're staying. But we will be back. The boys will be back in town next week with an episode of Up Next. And hope to see as many of you as possible at All Out and All Out for All Out Weekend on September the 20th. Again, details at poisonrana.ca. And you can join me this coming Saturday for the Worlds Collide review with Cubs fan from Lucha Blog. And get in your feedback for best match ever, AJ Lee, if you are one of our patron members. But Boris, thank you again. You've been a great fill-in host these last Last two shows, Poison Rana and this up next. You know your shit. It's fun chatting with you. So thank you. And before we go, let everyone know once again where we can find you.
A+wrestling.com is the best place where you can find everything for A+. That's A, the Canadian A-E-H. We also have a Facebook group where you can just search for A+ Productions. We do a bunch of shows, sports entertainment and sports entertainment, aka wrestling. You can find us on any podcasting app. All you need to do is search for A+ Productions. But if you really just want to listen to the wrestling stuff, all you need to do is search for A+ Wrestling. Davey, thank you so much. Honestly, it's been fun. Again, I'm still shocked that this is only the second show that we've ever done together, and we've known each other what feels like a really long time now.
Absolutely. Well, if you're around, we got to get you on for one of our Cena shows. We have six left. I think that's maths. Yeah, six left. So would love to get you on for one of them. Everyone else, thank you very much for joining us. We'll catch you very, very soon. Take care. Goodbye. Be safe and ahoy!
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com apply.